Hello, and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week, we are going to hear from the members of Junior Junior, makers of some of the catchiest indie pop out there. But before we get started, I want to ask that if you like the episode you're about to hear, then please go to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a rating or a review, because ratings and reviews, they help us a lot. Like, they help people find this podcast in the vast digital landscape that is the internet. And you know what else helps people find this podcast? You sharing it with your people, like however you want to do it, online, in real life. We would love it if you would let your friends know about the show. Okay, now to Junior Junior. The band is the result of the collaboration between Josh Epstein and Daniel Zott. And yes, they used to have another name, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr., which I always thought was one of the funniest and like most fun band names out there. They started releasing music in 2010 as Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. And then they changed their name to Junior Jr. in 2015. They released their self-titled record that year. By self-titled, I mean it's called Junior Junior. And I was lucky enough to catch up with them at ACL Fest last October. And this conversation, this was one of the surprising, delightful highlights of the festival for me, because interviewing people at festivals can be tough. Like, it's loud and band members are often pretty worn out and you're like almost always under a time crunch. But this interview, which, by the way, is a full band interview. You know how much I love the full band interview. I got to interview multi-instrumentalist Brian Pope and drummer Mike Higgins. Well, this interview, it takes a turn at the end that was like unexpected, and exactly why I make this podcast. Like, look, I want to talk about songs as a way to get people talking about why they do what they do. And at the end of this interview, like, you really get insight into why these guys make music. So here they are, Junior Junior.
I've made up my mind over and over.
My dad was a Grateful Dead fan, and so my family used to sing four-part harmonies to Uncle John's band. And like, come here, Uncle John's band.
Is that the part that you would sing?
No, I think I had a really high voice at the
you
time.
You had like, come so like, here, Uncle John's
I think I was even
band.
Up. I think I was oh. like, come wow. here, Uncle John's band.
Come here, Uncle John's band, by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide.
But yeah, I remember like doing the harmonies and being really into that music. And then I went to the concert and I was maybe 9, and it was my first concert, and it was at like a big outdoor amphitheater shed thing. And I remember smelling marijuana like profusely and not knowing what the smell was and feeling really overwhelmed. And so my mom had to take me out of the concert. But I think that that's probably shaped my music at this point. It's filtering back in terms of the freedom that they played with. Also, you know, the vocal harmonies. I remember, you know, my parents telling me that the Grateful Dead had worked with Crosby, Stills, and Nash on their harmonies for that record.
Really?
Yeah.
They worked with Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash helped them do their vocal harmonies.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by and feed.
And I remember just thinking about how vocal harmonies in and of themselves can kind of take a boring song and make them interesting. And I think that that's always been something that I've thought about, but even more so lately, just, you know, taking something simple and making something beautiful and unexpected over it is a really fun experiment. And I think that the Grateful Dead kind of inspired that and some freedom. And you know, I never took acid, so maybe that was because I went to a Grateful Dead concert early. I do remember seeing a girl with toilet paper stuck to her shoe yelling that there was snakes after her, and I didn't know what that was.
Maybe later you were like,
I think that was that. When I was 17, I went to a fish show and saw the same thing, and I was like,
oh, that's
seen
what
that. Yeah.
That's what that is.
Don't do that, kids. So did you, you were into the Grateful Dead when you were nine and you were like hanging out with your parents singing Uncle John's Band.
Totally.
Were you into them like as you got older?
Not so much. I think I kind of like gravitated more towards the Beatles and the Beach Boys. That was kind of like the other, and Motown. My parents listened to a lot of Motown. That was like the other end of the spectrum of what they exposed me to. And that was kind of where I live. But, you know, your formative musical experiences always shape you. And I think that that music has definitely shaped me. And you know, I was really, really getting back into them and listening to them a lot. And then John Mayer went on tour in the band. And it's really hard for me to listen to them right now. Because I just feel like it's disrespectful to Jerry and everyone.
The thing that I was trying to get back to was the freedom that you talked about. Because it like,
right.
Because I have friends who really like the Grateful Dead, but I have never, like, it's never been my thing. But the thing that they'll talk, like, the thing I didn't realize is, like, the many eras of Grateful Dead. Like, there's disco Grateful Dead.
Yeah, there's like Bruce Hornsby Grateful Dead.
Standing on the moon, and I'm feeling so alone and blue.
It seemed like they did always kind of feel like, oh, why not? Let's try some disco. Like, we can do anything
yeah,
we want.
Yeah, they did.
The Grateful
and,
Dead.
And, you know, I mean, look, the amount of jamming that they did was a little excessive and self-indulgent at times, but like...
A little?
But, yeah. But it was like freedom. It was their freedom, you know? They came from a different era, and I don't relate to it as much, but like, I appreciate it.
My name is Daniel, and I'll talk about, can I do two short ones?
Sure, go for it.
So, one is just listening to records. I had a moment when I was, I think like 13, and I always stayed away from rock and roll. Like, I didn't like Zeppelin and all these harder bands that like, a lot of my friends were trying to like, show me as staples, you know? And I remember I was at my cousin's house and they were listening to Led Zeppelin and we were all lying on the floor and it was like this cool room with like vinyl.
If it keeps on raining, let me score the brain. If it keeps on raining, let me score the brain. When the levee breaks, have no place to stay.
And I was so zoned out that I didn't realize it had changed from Led Zeppelin to something else. So this song started. I'm like, wait a second. I can get down with Led Zeppelin. This is really awesome. And they all just started laughing at me because I didn't realize it had switched. And it was Radiohead, OK Computer. And it just like blew my mind. I was like, and they let me sit in it for a while. Like, for a while, I just was thinking, wait, Zeppelin is dope. Like, what is going on? This doesn't make sense. It was like blowing my mind because it was like the 60s or 70s with all this like weird synth electronic stuff sort of mixed in with rock. And then I was just like, when they told me it was Radiohead, I was like, all right, this is like the coolest band ever. So that was like a huge shift for me where it was sort of rock and roll, but it was this like headier, more thoughtful, and prettier sort of version of it, you know, that like sort of spoke to me a little bit more than I never connected with like the rebellious nature of rock and roll. It was more the, and similar to Josh's fashion, Beach Boys and Beatles were like, always spoke to me more, but they were like the first modern band that really was like, just doing it right for me, you know, like connecting to my inner being.
It wasn't like sex, drugs, and rock and roll for you. It
was no, I just never was into that. I wanted to make beautiful music because I also listened to so much Motown that like, that there was no rebellious nature in that. In terms of like, I hit my guitar really hard. It was like, it was just speaking to like the core of what was going on, whether it was Marvin Gaye.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know.
And Stevie Wonder.
They've been spending most of their lives living in the pastime paradise.
It was like in the lyrical content, not as much as like feeling that way, you know? But then the other big thing for me was one of the first shows I went to, which was not a great band, called Tonic. But I was like obsessed when I was like, I don't know, same age, like 13-ish or whatever. But I'll never forget it. All the lights were off and all I could see was this like little glowing light, like an orange yellowy light. And I was like, what the heck's going on? And then all of a sudden I saw it like move and like go to the ground. And then all this music started like happening and like the lights came on and I realized he had a cigarette. And I just thought like that was like the coolest thing ever, that everyone was like, what is that little light? And then he threw it and then the song started. Like, I'll never forget that moment because I just, you know, when you're that age, there are certain things that you're like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I remember just being like, I want to play. I was playing music already, but then I was like, I want to do stuff like that on stage. I want to be watched, you know? I think I could do that.
It wasn't about the music. It was about like spectacle.
It was the first time that I didn't do this a lot where I was like, that's cool. I just wasn't that type of kid either. So I remember that feeling of, wow, that was really cool. And it kind of shook me like, that's really interesting. I want to do stuff like that. And we eventually played on that same stage on our first CD release show in Detroit. And that was a cool moment too, to sort of come back to that. But
so it kind of came full circle too.
Totally.
Like you were doing something cool on the stage where you first realized totally. You wanted to do something cool on a
exactly.
stage.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great moment.
My name is Brian.
Thank you.
For me, the band and the record was when I was in high school. I got into the band The Mars Volta, and their album De Louse in the Comatorium. They were the first band that really, like, I didn't like at first, and like I didn't understand it, and it was the first band that I saw really like use like guitar effects and just like go crazy on stage and use a bunch of noise, and like that really inspired me as a musician to just like think outside of just playing like bar chords and stuff like that, and being able to like experiment with noise, and like they would improv at their shows, and it was just a cool mix of sounds.
It's just like it's like an explosion. It's like all of a sudden, like it's like watching something explode. And like I remember the first time I kind of realized what it was, because it's not a easy bridge to cross.
No.
You know, like, so for you, it was like, oh, expanded your boundaries of like what,
yeah,
what you could like, do with music.
And just seeing like that much energy on stage and just like the sound of hitting a guitar with a bunch of delay and fuzz, like that's a usable thing that you can do in music. That was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of musicians, you get to a certain point where you've like played a bunch of songs and all of a sudden all you want to hear is noise. Like I don't want to hear melodies anymore. I just want to hear like sounds.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Hello, this is Mike. So my
Welcome, Mike.
Memory is more of an experience that I had playing live music, and it's when I was 12. I would go play gigs with my older brother who played saxophone, and I brought my drums. He always pushed me to go and let's go play in front of people, let's do that, and that was pretty big for me. But we would go to this nursing home, and we'd been returning to it. His music teacher's mother was staying there, and we were playing polka music. And like playing weird jazz along to CDs that would skip coming out of a boombox.
That's was amazing. A
terrifying experience, really frustrating. It definitely caught me off guard. But the positive thing I remember from then that sticks with me till now is, you know, they would wheel and help and assist all these elderly people into a cafeteria, and we'd be set up behind a table, and I remember smelling the food, and it didn't make me feel right, and a lot of the imagery didn't make me feel right about where I was. Anyway, we began playing, and I was hitting my drums, and I watch people from my drum set really closely. I don't know if any audience realizes that, but I study people a lot, and when I was doing this back when I was 12 years old, sort of just watched people wake up from the inside out, and you know, these elderly folks were like glazed over, maybe years spent inside of this nursing home, and it was sad, right? But you know, once we started the music, it woke people up, and I was like, okay, this is good, I can hold on to this, I can latch on to this, playing the drums is okay.
That's
even
cool.
Though this is weird, it's positive, and that's never left me, you know, like earlier today. You could be in the worst mood, you know, your personal life could be totally messed up, or you're going through something hard, but like latching on to the fact that just playing instruments for people is positive, it can get you through, you know?
So it's really the first time you saw the effect that you could have on people,
yeah.
Like
physically.
the physical effect that music has on people,
yeah,
and how it's like a transformative kind of positive effect?
Absolutely.
Whoa. Mike, that was beautiful.
That was really cool.
I'm like happy to know that about you, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's really
it makes
cool.
me think you're like a great person.
I think
all over
that's
again, you know?
That's like the true essence of music, you know?
Like a thick.
That's the ultimate like connection with people, right? Is like to see not only us connect with them and them connect with us, but like we all are transformed through that process, you know? That is just so cool.
And I think that all of that gets kind of like confused and warped as you do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I think about the fact that like maybe I just kept on doing music because I hate failing and I just wanted to like have it be like something that I could be proud of. But then, you know, when you think about it, it's like, holy shit, I get to wake up and write music and that's like actually what I enjoy most. Even if I'm not in the mood to do it that day, there's nothing in the world that I would be happier doing than that. And I have to kind of remind myself because that in and of itself is something that you like, you've created a thing that someone else can experience. And I think that's the most important thing for human beings to do is to like leave something behind that they've made, you know, as opposed to just like buying and selling imaginary shit.
Right.
You know, you can make a lot of money and like buy a house and leave that behind, but like, what did you build? You know, what did you make?
And also, what do you give to people? I mean,
right.
Because basically you get up there and you're like, you know, like a live performance, it can be a real gift and you can get a real gift like in return, you know,
totally.
But it's like, if you're open and you're like being authentic and like doing it for real, people feel that and then they could feel like they too can be that kind of person, which is like It's the jam, right?
It's comforting to hold on to that source because that thought kind of hangs around all the time of what am I actually doing? What's like palpable from this? What am I leaving behind? Does it even matter in the grand scheme of things when I'm not here anymore? So it helps.
I think it's really, I'm just really excited that we're like all at this place together making a new album that, you know, like it's exciting to me because I finally feel like I'm not pretending to be anything when I'm on stage in front of people, which was a thing, you know, like I think I had to do that to get through the whole thing because I was so anxious about it, you know, and to pretend that I wasn't anxious. I was like trying to like channel things that I had seen in the past.
Yeah.
Like things that had worked for other people that don't necessarily, you know, like
that weren't you.
Like coming out to a crowd and being like, "What's up, guys?" Like, it's just not me. But I did it because I saw that it worked. But, you know, now I'm finally feeling like I don't want to do anything that's not me. And I think we all kind of arrived at that place. We're all there. It's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry, maybe too much information.
No.
You guys, this turned out to be a beautiful interview.
When he was talking, I was thinking, man, like, we need to do this, like, once a week on the bus. Like, hey, does anyone have a story they want to share? Because it's so nice to hear that.
I'm down.
It's great.
Down
that. It's great. Well, you guys, thanks so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank
you. Thanks for having us.
Focus on your breathing. Looks can be deceiving. Everyone has curated their life. Makes you feel like you're not living right. And you might be alright with that.
And this is Same Dark Places, the newest single from Junior Junior. You might have heard it on the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why. And, like, wasn't I right? The end of that interview, hearing those guys talk about why they make music, why they perform, like, what it really means. That, my friends, is the conversation I am always angling to have. So thank you, Josh and Daniel and Brian and Mike, for taking the time to talk to me and talking to me about the stuff I love to talk about. Junior Junior just announced a bunch of new tour dates starting in October. If you live in Austin and you want to see them, they'll be at the Mohawk on October 25th. And I'll put a link to the tour dates on the show notes page for this episode at kutx.org. KUTX is the radio station where we make this podcast. And if you enjoyed hearing these guys talk about songs that changed their lives, but then also talk about, like, why music, you know, then I know you will really dig the interviews that we did with Tegan and Sarah and the guys from Local Natives. Like, these interviews took similar turns. We started talking about songs. We ended up talking about big stuff. And we have over 80 episodes, so you can totally dive into the audio. And you can find everything, our archive, like on the podcast app or iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, on this podcast, we mostly speak to musicians about transformative songs. But everyone kind of has these moments, right? These transformational musical experiences. And we want to hear about yours. Give us a call. Our number is 512-766-9066. Leave a message telling us about your life-changing song, and you may hear your story on this podcast. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. This interview was recorded by Jack Anderson. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. Woo! Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. Yeah! And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongkutx. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.